Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, good morning. What a beautiful, beautiful morning out there. You know, one of the things we're going to be talking about here is going to be the seasons and how off-kilter they seem to be. And I'm not going to tell you that there's global warming or that there's anything else going on, except this year, the seasons seem to shift. You know, we got a lot of cold weather early in the summer. It was cold, cool spring till almost the end of June. And I can tell you from an outdoorsman's perspective that things were late. The fish movements were late. The animal movements were late. The bait fish spawned at different times. Then all of a sudden, July and August got super hot and continued on, and we're just now getting fall seasonal weather, and we're late on the other end. Now fall is coming late, and it's the same thing in reverse, only the opposite. And so we're going to talk a lot about that over the next couple weeks, and because if you had a playbook that you use seasonally for fishing and hunting, you got to take a step back and say, is that playbook really in play right now? And we're going to talk a lot about that. In addition, later on in the second hour, we're going to be joined by the editor of Trout Magazine and editor at large for Field & Stream, Colorado's own Kirk Dieter will join us. We're going to talk a little bit about shotgunning and sighting in your rifles, how important that is before you go out on that rifle season. We just got a lot of stuff going on today, so let's go right to the phones now. And I want to see if this gentleman agrees with me, because he spends a lot of time both on the water and in the field. And that's Austin Parr from Discount Tackle. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks for having me.
What do you think about my assessment coming into the opening of the show here?
Everything has been different for me, at least. So, you know, I spend a lot of time on Front Range lakes, being Chatfield and Cherry Creek, and one of those two lakes was slightly behind, but largely on schedule, being Cherry Creek. But the secondary lake in Chatfield has been entirely different. And that late cold spring, in my opinion, really affected the bait fish production out there. And, you know, you and I had talked about it before, but the bait fish are largely non-existent out there right now. And, it's been very different in comparison. You know, I'm not usually used to fishing a jig and a crawler on the second week of September and having a lot of success for walleyes.
You're absolutely right. We're going to get back to the fishing. Let's talk a little bit, too, about what you're seeing in the field. You're an avid upland game hunter. Dove season, usually we're worried that last weekend in August that we're going to have a freeze and move those birds out. But it must have been a different experience out there this year.
It's a great season this year, actually. So, you know, it started off really strong and it had multiple weeks of plenty of birds for full limits. You know, we were out there this past week on Tuesday, and although there were still a lot of birds, it had gotten just cold enough that it's pushed a lot of those birds out. So, you know, the doves, unless we get another push from some northern birds, a lot of that is, in my opinion, kind of done. I mean, there's enough to still potentially go out there and take a peek. But, you know, it's just not what it was, obviously, for the first week. But it lasted a lot longer than it normally would.
Well, were you hunting just east, or were you southeast? Because southeast usually hangs on a little longer.
Yep, so that was basically straight out I-70, where I was hunting with some of the walk and access type properties. And the southeast part of Colorado, I haven't been down there in since the first week of season, and I imagine that there's still quite a few birds that are down in there. But east, you know, a lot of those birds had started to push, and, you know, there were still some areas with some good birds. And just a quick mention out there as well, definitely ran into a couple of prairie rattlesnakes out there around some of those abandoned properties. So just keep an eye out for those if anyone's going out there and doing any maybe warm weather pheasant hunting coming up here. We'll see what happens there, but definitely dove hunting. So,
well, yeah, and not only for you, but it's so important for your dogs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely is very interesting, and we ran into two of them, and actually one of my buddies almost got bit out there in some of the high grass. So, you know, rather than keeping your eyes to the sky all the time, definitely keeping, you know, your ears out for them and your eyes out for them. They camouflage so well, but, you know, just they are out there. So, you know, people, I hadn't run into them for quite some time and ran into two in one day. So just something to keep in the back of everyone's mind.
Well, and they're not going to come and look for you to attack. But if you happen to get too close or almost step on one, and, you know, and we always tell people to stay on trails, which is almost impossible when you're hunting. You have to be in the field.
So
you
have to around those. Yeah, I mean, those walk and access properties, you know, you're going into those areas, you know, you're in the old abandoned homesteads and not in them, but in and around them and, you know, around downed wood and equipment and those snakes are all around there eating, you know, all your different rodents and stuff. And it definitely is something to keep in mind because we nearly stepped on two of them, and that just goes to show you how many of them are actually there.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Before we move on to fishing, I want to spend quite a bit of time on that. We may take a little extra time here. What about, are you seeing anything as far as the other upland game, pheasant or quail? I know you're hunting a little bit different habitat, but you're out there out east. You getting any kind of a feel?
Seeing some pheasants for sure. You know, what was actually really interesting that we saw this past week, we actually saw a near pheasant chick that was dead on the road. They got hit by a car, but something that you're not normally seeing in the second week or third week of September here, but it was a very small juvenile bird. So all of what everyone's talking about with a late hatch definitely seems to be happening with that as well. I have not run into very many quail except for in the first week down in the southeast portion of Colorado, but out I-70 saw some pheasants on the side of the roads, running around and in the edge of some of the wheat fields. But, you know, not seeing quite the numbers. But granted, as you mentioned, I'm not necessarily pushing those areas that those pheasants might be sitting in.
And just so people know, Ed Gorman, the biologist who monitors all that, will be joining us. I think next week, Karen, is Ed joining us? I'll get that exact date, but I think it is next week. And he'll have his crews out monitoring, and he'll be able to tell us, because if it is a late brood, you know, the chicks make up about 70% of the harvested birds on any year. So we want to be aware of that. It might be a better season to hunt late. I said one more question before we talk fishing, but I have another. You know, did you have much problem with ticks when you were out there? Wood ticks are really becoming an issue across the country.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't really run into those a whole lot myself. You know, hunting a couple of years ago at Jumbo Reservoir, we got into quite a few of those. But I have not seen them out in some of those properties out there. But granted, I'm not necessarily getting up underneath the trees. I'm not sitting down. You know, I'm away from where they would be. Whereas if you're turkey hunting and sitting down, that is really where you would find a lot more of those ticks, at least in my opinion. And I really don't run into them a lot. You know, I do a lot of checking the dogs, and I don't see them really ever on them.
Yeah, just people be aware. I've written some articles. You can Google the Denver Post, and I have a couple articles, or Google our podcast and find out about those. Let's move on to fishing, though, because fall fishing is always one of my favorite times of the year for a couple reasons. One is it's great fishing, and you start seeing more access to big fish again and usually more predictable patterns. Another thing is because of what we talked about, a lot of people who are avid anglers are in the field. It's less crowded. Kids are back in school. So you can actually have some of the best fishing of the year and have some areas to yourself. Tell me what you're seeing out there on the fishing side of things.
So just as you mentioned, a lot of people are out in the field, and the crowds are down even on weekends. You know, I have the ability to go out and guide, obviously, during the week, but I have not seen the crowds nearly that you see. But the fishing in general has been very, very productive so far, particularly in a lake like Chatfield without the bait fish. The walleye numbers and smallmouth numbers are very strong, but going to a lake that's a little bit more consistent as far as the year is concerned is Cherry Creek. And Cherry Creek, there's a ton of bait fish out there right now, and the bite with blade baits and jigging wraps is just now starting. So the trolling bite has started to slow a little bit, but the jigging wrap and blade bait bite is really turning on, and this is the time of year last year where we started to see some of those big fish. We're not quite there yet, but we're right on the cusp. And if we get a couple of these cool nights that it looks like we might be being forecast here in the next couple of days even, I think that bite's really going to fire up here quickly, even as early as next week.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that it doesn't take too much right now, although the lakes, Cherry Creek stays pretty consistent. Most of our bodies of water, those southeastern things, there's a lot of water in them, even our mountain lakes like Granby. So they're going to cool a little slower, but it's amazing how fast the temperatures will catch up once the weather now is catching up. I heard you mention the jigging wraps and the blade baits. I know you hate to have to switch to that. You just forced yourself, right?
Yeah, you know, it's one of my favorites over the entire course of the year. And what's really interesting is that both of those techniques are not really working very well at Chatfield right now. And I've been having to resort back to some of my summertime techniques, like jigging a crawler. And those fish are sitting so tightly to structure right now that doing anything like pulling a slow death rig or running a Lindy rig is not very effective. And typically this time of year, it's not at all. But shifting over to a crawler and a jig has been very productive out there if you can find those fish stacked up on structure. Whereas at Cherry Creek, there are so many shad out there that you're just kind of fishing general areas rather than fishing a very specific break that the fish are piled on. So those fish are kind of roaming, and I'll fish the edges of a line. And the nice thing about a jigging wrap is you can position your boat or even on the shore if you're in the right circumstance and make a long cast and cover a lot of water all the way along a break line rather than fishing one very specific location.
What have you heard about some of the other waters in the state?
So shifting up to the mountains a little bit, we actually went sage grouse hunting yesterday, and although I don't necessarily have a fishing report for you, I can tell you that Green Mountain is about as high as I've ever seen it out there, just to mention this for this time of year. But in addition, you're starting to see some spawning runs on some brown trout, you know, and even down toward Blue Mesa, the salmon are really starting to come up there, and I have a lot of people talking about that, and a lot of people have been having a ton of success so far on the salmon down at Blue Mesa. But Pueblo, we're also seeing bait fish that aren't quite as heavy as you normally would see, similar to Chatfield, but there are more bait fish down there. And running lead core, some guys are having some success, but starting with that same jigging wrap and blade bait kind of bite. And then those Eastern Plains lakes, they did have good bait fish hatches, and the wiper action out at Jackson has been good, although the sawguys and walleyes have been kind of a mystery to figure out where those guys are positioning right now. But shifting out toward Sterling and Jumbo even, those have both been starting to be more productive, although the bite has not really fired up out there yet, just because I think that water temperature is still pretty warm. I mean, at Chatfield, we're still seeing about 70-degree water temperatures in the afternoon.
One of the things I'll say about the northeast part of the state up I-76 is I'm not sure when the closing of the boat ramps are, but I'll bet there's a lot of water because a lot of times those you can't get a boat on those this time of the year.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I've been on Sterling before right about this same time of year where you are backing down what seems to be forever on that south boat ramp. And although I have not laid eyes on that lake, just because I've seen some of the other lakes out there, I would imagine that the water levels are a lot stronger than they normally would be just due to the precipitation and not having to draw that water for irrigation quite as much.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. And you know what? You talk about the jigging wrap and the blade bait. Now, it used to be everybody fished those with jigging spoons. And don't be afraid to use jigging spoons, too. I've written articles for In Fisherman about using jigging spoons. And that's really used to be the way everybody went after it till the word kind of leaked out about the jigging wraps. Blade baits were kind of always there with the jigging spoons, but everybody kind of kept it under their hat more than they should have. Finally, it took a while for the jigging wraps to leak out, and a lot of pros were using it in tournaments. And finally, it caught on with the general public. But don't be afraid to go out with spoons, too. A good jigging spoon is a tremendous reaction bait.
Well, and I think that comment right there really hits the nail on the head a lot of times when you're fishing is the fact that you can really get stuck into fishing confidence baits. And that's a good way to go, obviously. But, you know, especially if you're having a time when those fish are really biting, shifting to something different and trying to work a different pattern can be really productive. And that's really where I got a lot of confidence in the jigging wraps and the blade baits is actually fishing it more in the summertime when those fish were on structure and feeding heavily. So adjusting yourself and getting out of your comfort zone a little bit can also be really effective, and particularly during that bait fish time when you have a lot of dying bait fish in the water in the fall, a jigging spoon is a great thing to shift to if you're used to fishing a blade bait or a jigging wrap, just to get something a little bit different and throw something that not everyone else is throwing.
Right, and if you use any of the three, the jigging wrap, the blade bait, or a spoon, don't think you're limited to just walleyes. You're going to catch wipers, crappies, smallmouth bass. You don't catch as many largemouth. They tend to be tighter into structure, but it happens. But you'll also catch a number of catfish.
Absolutely. I've seen the catfish in the wintertime actually at Pueblo and some of that little bit deeper water jump all over jigging wraps before. But people don't realize how much of a predator that catfish really is. They're not just eating stuff off the bottom. But a jigging wrap, I think I've caught more fish on a jigging wrap as far as species are concerned than any other lure that I have in my entire arsenal. Everything from grayling to all your trout species, lakers, walleyes, bass, wipers, crappies, the whole nine yards.
Well, you know, we get to a couple, like you said, confidence baits. And I always used to tell the guys at Berkeley that said if it hadn't been for the Smoke Sparkle 3-inch grub and a 7-inch blue fleck worm, I might not have had a fishing career. But
well, funny how that goes, and that's something to play off of as well. You know, I mentioned getting away from your confidence, but sometimes not doing that same thing is important as well.
You're absolutely right. Real quick, what are you seeing up on the high country as far as fly fishing or even locally? Are you hearing much there?
Fly fishing has been great. So down at Deckers, they're still holding really solid flows up in the mid-250, you know, 250 plus. So that bite has been really good. Still starting to see some betas coming off there and 11 Mile Canyon both. Some of your spawning runs have started for the Kokanee salmon, hearing some up above the Dream Stream right now, or in the Dream Stream up above 11 Mile, as well as I mentioned, Blue Mesa. But your Freestone rivers are fishing absolutely amazing right now. So if anyone has the thought to want to go fish the Colorado River, whether it be up higher toward Partial or down lower toward Pump House or even down toward Radium, everything has been absolutely fantastic up there, whether you're fly fishing or conventional fishing. You can throw, you know, little small jerk baits or, you know, doing any of your stone flies have been productive, streamers particularly, starting to see some betas hatches as well there.
Hopper droppers.
Yeah. Yep, and what was interesting up there, too, sage-grouse hunting yesterday is we did see a lot of hoppers still around, so it's still way in play right now. So we're going to start to see, you know, a little bit of cold weather that might kill a few of those off, but for the next, you know, a couple of weeks here, it's going to still be good for some of those hoppers.
We really got to move on. We're going to go to the Parks and Wildlife. We're going to talk about chronic wasting disease. We will give that plenty of time, folks, but I wanted to take advantage of having Austin on. Last thing, you mentioned the Kokanee, and they start to run. If you go to my YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom, we actually did a fly fishing show for Kokanee coming out of Blue Mesa, catch and release. And that could be some of the most fun fly fishing you'll ever do, rather than snagging them or even conventional. It's just a great way to fish. Austin, we better let you go. I got to get to the next segment, but thanks for all the great information, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, Terry. I certainly appreciate you having me on.
All right. That's Austin Parr. We're going to take a quick time out. We come back, we're going to talk about chronic wasting disease. And even though we're running a little late, we're going to give plenty of time to this because it's a very important topic with big game season in full swing right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.